Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. The Lord our God is mightily moving by the Holy Spirit. And we have another day of grace. You know, in these days, I thank God for every day of grace. This is a day that we can pray for our loved ones. We can pray for those we care about. We can pray for anybody we want to. And we can believe God that they may live. We can represent God to all men today. And we can speak the words of God's heart to others. And we can bless people at our will. This is a day that we have another chance to win souls. And I never underestimate the anointing that God puts on his people. And when we cooperate with him, when we're obedient to the anointing, you know, when the Lord urges you to do something and you operate in obedience, you're helping somebody else have a chance at life. And if they're saved, they have a chance at living a greater life and being a greater blessing. It's all about love. And love never underestimates love. Love receives everything of God. Love helps you stay in faith. People that operate by the love of God, they run their life in the motivation of love, and they're quick to respond. They're quicker to respond to God's call. They're quicker to respond to the things that God will give them to do. They don't let the words of God fall off. They don't walk away from the commandments that God has given them. They don't forget about it. Because when the Lord speaks something, the love in you wants to do something with it. It goes all the way back to Adam, the first five commandments. And God said to Adam, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, subdue it, and have dominion over it. Now, I've had the Lord to tell me things. He can say a short phrase like that. Those were five short phrases, simple and easy to understand. But when he speaks things, I see other things. I see greater things. I see more than what he's saying. I see a multiplied version of what he's saying in the spirit. Because he communicates spirit to spirit. And see, he can show you pictures with the words. He can give you understanding with it. I wrote a book called The Cost of Freedom. The Lord told me what all to put in it. By the time, and this is how long it took him to download a book to me. I walked two paces. I was near my toolbox at work. And he had given me a series of dreams and visions and teachings. And before I could take two steps, I knew what to put in that book. So that's how it is when the Lord speaks sometimes. Sometimes you understand greater than the phrase that he says. And when I did write the book, it took me a while to write the book. But I never had writer's block. I wrote it every day I wrote, and the words fell in order. He showed me what dream to talk about first, and in sequence. And it just failed again. It was a work of the Holy Ghost. Everything was systematically done to the glory of God. And it's on the... It's on my old website, livingletterministries.com. And it's on the Living Letters page. And I have a section on that page where books and writings, there's two books on there, The Spirit of Each of Them and Cost of Freedom. But when God told Adam the things he told him, Adam understood volumes of information from those five phrases. And when the Lord first taught me about that, I read it many times, and then I started. I said, Lord, teach me each phrase, each one. I said, what do you mean when you say be fruitful? Even though I know what he meant. But I asked God questions that would seem dumb sometimes to see what else he'll say. And he put it in a simpler way for me to understand. He said, to be fruitful is to prepare yourself to give profit. And that's precisely what fruits do. And the fruit tree. You can eat it. It can nourish you now in current time. It has a seed, which if you take time and plant, it will become a tree, and you'll have many, you'll have thousands of fruits just like it. He said, be fruitful. Told man to be like a peach tree or any kind of fruit. You know, some fruits have many seeds, like a watermelon. You plant them all, you have many more to feed people in your lineage. See, our prospering is very important. Now, this is not limited to things and tangible things. It's also the knowledge of God, the wisdom of God. We can receive the knowledge of God. We can sow the knowledge of God. We can be a priest to people. We can receive the wisdom of God. We can sow the wisdom of God. We can receive the counsel of God. We can sow the counsel of God. We can receive the might of God. We can sow the might of God. It goes on and on in every way, in everything. Be fruitful. So Adam understood principles as God said phrases, because he's speaking from the heart, heart to heart. And the Lord can do that. Some things are simple and you'll just understand that one thing. But sometimes that you understand books of information from one phrase. And then he said, prosper, be fruitful and multiply. So I said, well, Lord, what is multiply? Multiplying means to increase greatly. Whatever you're doing, use the principles of God and increase greatly. We are commanded to prosper. I'm going to say that again. We are commanded to prosper. It's God's way. It's God's method. It's prosperity is in salvation. You, my friend, are prosperity. We are prosperity. We can do all things in Christ. We've been made kings and priests. Our prayers avail much. Whatever we pray for, the Lord will bless us with it. We have the grace of God, and His grace is sufficient. He didn't give us a blank check that might bounce. All of God's checks are clear. Every form of grace He's given us works. Your authority works every time. You, just like everything else, you have to believe it. Well, what if I'm not developed in believing it? Learn how to believe it. Get skilled. Start doing it. Like we talked about yesterday, start off small and work your way up. See, all the things of this world, the measures of this world, the intents of this world, the doctrines of this world, the persuasions of this world, they fall off your life. All those demons fall off your life when you receive the Word of God. And you have to renew your mind. Receive what God say. And love makes it work. The more you love, the more you do these things. The more you love, the more you live. Love is a choice. It's not a feeling. It's what you will do because you love others. The greatest form of love is charity. That's love in action. The third thing the Lord told Adam, He said, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Now, this commandment puts him in the same position that God is in. He's going to spread life. What he see his father do, he's doing it. God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and now Adam's going to make the whole world look like that garden. And he's going to father children, and he's going to increase greatly. The animals that helped him out, they're going to have babies and children, you know, their offspring. Everything he needed was there. There was no sickness, no illness, no poverty. Whatever he put in motion stayed in motion. We bear fruit after our kind. Now, a lot of us want our children to love God. And we have a say in that level of love. Because if we love greatly, we rate, and if the law be true that we bear fruit after our kind, so will our children. That also means if we're easily deceived, they'll be easily deceived. If we learn to be sober-minded according to Ephesians 4, then we'll bear fruit after our kind. That won't that we'll receive the word of God, apply it, and not be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. So we bear fruit after our kind. If you want strong children, you be strong from the inside out. You have to receive the spirit of might. You have to decide to be strong in your mind and in your heart. Gird up the spirit of your mind, the scriptures say. If we practice those things as a way of life, our children will do it too. They'll see you making the proper choices. And even if they have to live somewhere else, if you're in the military and you're not around your children like you want to be, even the principles you live and they don't see you will still carry over to them. But it's best for us to be around our children in their early years. And in our career choices and things that we do, it's optimal if we can arrange for our children to be in a part of our everyday life. They need to be there, especially the first decade. They need that foundation, because the world's going to try to tear them apart. Now, but don't be afraid of that. Overcome evil with good. So replenish the earth. You're going to supply. Now, the earth is already filled now. So the burden of replenishing the earth is not as extreme as it was for Adam. But we're going to do something greater. We're going to spread the gospel. And that's how we refill. We're going to refill the earth with the knowledge of God. And we do that by first receiving God's word, acting on it by faith, speaking it, and practicing it out in public. And not hiding the light. Doing the will of God. And if you have a problem being bold enough and courageous enough to do these things, it's just a prayer away, just like we talked about yesterday. You can confess. You can make a confession over your life. You can make a confession over your life, and it will change the terms. It will change the order of the way you've operated. Those that were fearful, you can say, "I'll never be afraid again." Those that had no courage, you can say, "I'm a very courageous man of God," or "a very courageous woman of God." You know, that movie Gone with the Wind, Scarlett O'Hara did it. She stood on a mountain and said, "I'll never be poor." And she spoke that over her life and made it happen. That's what I'm talking about, confessions of faith. Now, in a lot of ways, she was nuts. She was in love with a married man. That's wrong. But she made a confession over her life more than once. She said, "I'll never be poor." And she shouted it and balled her fists up and meant it. She was speaking to her future. Another thing she did I liked. Things were not going the way she wanted to, and she said, "I'm not going to think about that today." And she focused on the things she could change. And I learned from that those two phrases. Now, Charles Capps taught precisely the same thing. You can confess the word of God over your life. And people that know me now, they can't believe how I used to be. Because I made confessions after confessions after confessions over my life. I found out I can control how I feel. I can speak how I want to feel and feel good all day. I live in joy. I have a party going on 100% of the time in my heart. I feel God's presence. I love Him. I don't have to muster up faith to get in God's presence. I live there. And my life, the work I do is hard and brutal. But it doesn't matter. God is with me. My schedule is tight. I have most of my studying is hearing the word as I work. Love finds a way to do what you have to do. And I have to study a lot because I minister a lot. And also because I want to live. I study to live and I minister life. I believe in making everything easy. Do it efficiently. I like efficiency. I like simple. I like for things to be easy to understand. I don't want to make things more complicated than they are. The life of God is easy to be received. So it's easy to replenish the earth and subdue it. The fourth thing God said was subdue it. Don't let it get out of control. Now this was the first clue that was a devil out there, an enemy. Somebody that wants you down instead of up. You subdue him. As Christians, we need to learn how to manage Satan. We need to learn how to manage him and not let him corrupt our life in any form. The Lord said, drive out all the Canaanites. Everything that's attached to Satan, you drive it out of your land that I'm giving you. You have the land, you have the ability, you fight till you finish. And they fought till they got comfortable. And what happened? They didn't get all the Canaanites out. And they grew up to be thorns in their side and smoke in their eyes. And then Paul had to rebuke the enemy. He had to learn how to get rid of his thorn in the flesh, which was a messenger of Satan. And you go right back to that reference. If you don't drive them out, they'll be like smoke in your eyes and pricks in your side. Same thing. Now, if we don't drive out the things that make us fold, the things that bring us down, if we don't learn how to manage and destroy depression, we don't learn how to manage Satan and keep him at bay and subdue our lives, we have a harder walk with God. And those things interrupt everything. It makes our life miserable when it doesn't have to be. If the Lord gave you full authority over Satan, you can manage him. You can keep him out of your life. All you have to do is command him to leave. Whatever he's doing, sometimes I say, Satan, your whole plan against my life is dead. You can't. And when God gives me an assignment, I protect it. I bless it. I receive it. I speak just like Scarlett O'Hara. I say, I will do this. Nothing will stop me from doing the work of God. And I bless it. And I confess, I will do all that's in God's heart. And every challenge, I curse it. I command Satan to stop his works. I say, your plan is dead. And that's a curse. I curse the works of darkness. Now, you can fight Satan two ways. You can fight foot soldiers, or you can just cut him off at the head. Now, God gave us this example with serpents. The best and safest way to kill a serpent is stop him at the head. Crush his head. That was in the promise of redemption. The seed of woman will bruise your head, and you will crush your head, and you will bruise his heel. Don't play with demons. Tell Satan to stop. Tell Satan to stop. You tell Satan to stop, his whole kingdom will follow. You order him, he'll order his demons. The whole thing is stopped when you stop it. The worst way to fight Satan is fight foot soldiers. People that he influenced, trying to correct them. You don't have to correct Satan's army. Tell Satan he can't use them. Tell Satan he can't use them. And if the Lord calls you to discern the spirit, you can tell that spirit to stop. And tell Satan to stop. It works every time. But why? Because the grace of God is sufficient for us. We're not subject to the winds of this the whims of Satan. We're not subject to the rudiments of this world and doctrines of men. We don't have to be tossed to and fro with this and that. We can follow God for real and increase greatly and do the greater works of God at our will. We can control our feelings, our emotions. Everything can be controlled by your tongue. What you say, what you speak, how you speak it in faith. You speak the word in faith, you can subdue your life like God. You speak the word in faith, you can subdue your life like God. You speak the word of God in faith, you can subdue your life like God. I say it where you'll never forget it, because it's the truth. God's grace is sufficient. We have all the active grace of God at our disposal, at our command. We command our life with God's word. We don't have to bow down to any form of satanic temptation. I'm going to show you what you're like. You are like Samson. And Satan is like one Philistine. You can do what Jesus did. Whatever Jesus did, you can do. Satan is greatly outclassed if you live in the will of God, if you live according to his word. God gave us his ability to operate in this work, in this world. God, I'm going to say that again. God, what he did by the grace of God is this. He gave us his ability to fully operate in this world, to do his will. I'm going to say it again. God gave us, through grace, the grace, the sufficient grace of God is this and nothing less. God gave us his ability. He gave us his ability to fully operate in the world like he does. Now that's how sufficient God's grace is. So whatever you want to do, get busy. Subdue it. Don't let it get out of control. And then he said, have dominion over it. Now this is your responsibility, Adam. And he's talking to us because we're the Adam now. We're the new generation. We're in Adam's position. And Jesus said in Luke 10, he gave us power over all the power of the enemy. It's at our command. So we shouldn't be letting Satan get away with anything. Why do we let Satan get away with too much? We should have been took the gospel all over the place. And the only reason people didn't in the generations, because they lacked knowledge and they lacked understanding. They lacked integrity, and sometimes they lacked, all because they lacked love. And they didn't grow into what they can do. But they still have the God-given ability to do all these wonderful things. God, through grace, God has given us his ability to do and perform all of his will. That's precisely why Jesus said, In the Lord's Prayer, which is really the disciples' prayer, because they asked him how should they pray. He said, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And that's the part I wanted to get to. In earth as it is in heaven. That's where the will of God needs to be done. In earth as it is in heaven. God is honored. God is followed. And his commands are. We command the words of God to our situations. We command our situations to conform to God's will. And that's what I'm talking about. Now I noticed that when the Lord told Adam all these wonderful things, he didn't tell him to love. And I pointed that out. I said, Lord, you didn't tell Adam to love. And the Lord replied to me, son, when I told Adam those things, all he understood was love. So because you love God, this is what he has to say. Now I'm out of time, but the Lord is not. He'll continue to mightily move in your life. And you'll do his will. And you'll have his results. Till next time, remember, I love you. God loves you, and Jesus truly is our Lord.